Public statement before God and before the church. My wife and I count it a privilege to be here with you and celebrate this with you. Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 3. Begin reading in verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan, unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I want you to think with me tonight. I really believe that God is looking down on this service tonight and is saying, I am well pleased with my sons and daughters. Did you know that we can be sons and daughters of God? Open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 6, verse 18. Verse 17, Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Verse 18, And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. That's why I believe that God is looking down here tonight on these young hearts and souls, and is well pleased with what he sees. The title of my message tonight is A Life That Pleases God. We can live lives that please God. Did you know that? We can. That God can look down on our lives and say, I am well pleased with this man and this woman because they're living for me. And that's what I'd like to encourage you with tonight. Living a life pleasing to God. I'd like to just, before we get into that, just a couple of verses on baptism. Baptism does not save us, and I believe you understand that. Salvation is what saves us. In Ephesians 2, it says, For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. The Philippian jailer came to Paul and Silas. He said, What must I do to be saved? What did they say? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Paul says to the Romans in Romans 10:9, If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I believe that salvation and baptism are two distinct things. But I believe firmly that Scripture teaches baptism is a public testimony of an inward cleansing. And Jesus said in Matthew 28, he gave the Great Commission. He said, Go ye therefore, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And I believe baptism drives a stake to declare, I am a follower of Jesus. Notice what happened to Jesus. Right after the heavens opened, And a voice came from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." What happened? He was driven out into the wilderness to be tried and tested. I don't want to scare you, class, here. But I think you understand, we are in a battleground. See, there's two kingdoms in this world. It's the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. The kingdom of light, Jesus is king of that kingdom. And Jesus has promised us, if we're walking in that kingdom, he will never leave us nor forsake us. He will walk with us. That's the blessing that we have as Christians. Now, a life that pleases God I'm not sure what you think, but maybe things like, well, it would be nice to go to church, be nice to people, to say your prayers, read your Bible, help your neighbors. Those are all good things. But turn with me in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. I'd like to take 4 points out of these three verses here. Colossians chapter 1, beginning to read in verse 9. "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." 4 things I'd like to look at here tonight. Number 1 is bearing fruit. Being fruitful in every good work. Number 2, growing in the knowledge of God. Number 3, being strengthened with all might. And number 4, giving thanks unto the Father. Number 1, bearing fruit. If we purchase a fruit tree and we plant it and we take care of it, we expect to get fruit off that fruit tree, right? And if after many years the tree doesn't bear any fruit, then we discard it, or we cut it down, or it's no use. It wasn't what we thought it was to be. It didn't bear fruit, and we bought something to bear fruit. The same is true, I believe, for each of us here tonight. God is expecting fruit from our lives. And God has gifted everyone here in special ways. We may not all have the same fruit, but we're going to have fruit if we're connected to Jesus Christ. We are going to bear fruit. Listen to what the Bible says in Matthew 7, verse 15. "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit." How can you tell if someone is professing to be a believer, but he's not a believer? Right here it is. Just watch their lives. Because the fruit will always tell on you. The fruit will always tell on you. Our heart and our life go together. Now it's important, I believe, that we remember that fruitfulness takes time. You don't get fruit the first year you plant a fruit tree. It takes time for the tree to mature. And I believe for Christians, it's the same way. We as Christians should always be maturing and growing and continuing to grow. I believe with all of my heart that the Christian life is like so many things that God ordains. The Christian life, marriage, oh, there's other things too. But with time, as we're connected to Jesus Christ, it gets better and better and better and better. And that's how the Christian life should be. That's how our marriages should be. And I believe that's God's intent, that it gets better with time. There must be death to the old life. In John 12:24, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." So young people, Paul says we are to die daily. If you want to bring fruit for the Lord, and this is for all of us, we need to die. Just like that seed that is put in the ground, that single seed is put in the ground, and it brings forth abundantly then when it dies. And so it is for our lives. We're not any different. Galatians 5:22-23 is the fruits that should come from the child of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. There's a list that should come from the Christian's life if we're connected to Jesus Christ. Turn with me to John 15. I'm going to read the first five verses here, I think. John 15, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing." I believe right here is the prescription for us to bear fruit. We don't go out to bear fruit, but we draw closer to Jesus Christ. And as we connect to Jesus Christ, the fruit will come. It's not a matter of trying harder. It's a matter of drawing close to Jesus, the true vine. The fruit will come. And people will see changes in your life. They will see a change in your life. James 4:8 says, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you." Number two, growing in knowledge. A life that pleases God, I believe, continues to grow in the knowledge of God. Continues to seek to know God better. Growing in the knowledge of God is not the same as growing in the knowledge about God. We can spend a lifetime mastering information about God, but God is really interested in a relationship. That's what he's interested in. That's how he wants us to know him. He wants us to understand him and have a relationship with him. The Bible is full of God. If you want to know more about God, read God's Word. This is where we find out who God really is. This is where we find out what God wants from us, what God is like. And I believe we should read the Bible not primarily for factual information, but to discern the heart of God. Our prayer life should not be totally consumed with requests, but on a relationship with God. And I'd like to bring this down so we can just grasp. So many times we think that, well, God is there and we're here and we just... God wants a personal relationship with everyone here tonight. Everyone. Can you have a personal relationship with anybody on the face of this earth without spending time with them? No. Or without talking with them? No. And it's not any different. In our relationship with God, it's not any different. Spend time communicating with God, reading His Word, and sharing your heart with God. He's interested in what's going on in your life. Growing in the knowledge of God. The characteristics of God. He is omniscient. He knows everything. He's immutable. He never changes. He's infinite. He has no limits. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He's holy. He's morally excellent and perfect. He's righteous, always right. Loving, He's faithful, He's good, He's just, truthful, merciful, eternal, wrathful. Has a hatred of all unrighteousness. God is our Creator. He sent His Son to redeem us, and God will be our judge, our final judge as well. Growing in the knowledge of God. 1 John 4:7 says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. That's verse 7 and 8 of 1 John 4. And hereby do we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. 1 John 2. Verse 4, He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. God is love, and in order for us to have love in our hearts, we need to be connected to the true source of love. In order for us to have love for our fellow brothers and sisters in church, we need to be connected to God, the God of love. That's the only way we're going to love each other. So don't fool yourself and ever say that I love God, but my brothers and sisters, I struggle. As our relationship is with God, so it will be with our brothers and sisters. So, if you are struggling with your brothers and sisters, then fall on your knees, repent, and ask God to fix your relationship with Him. That's where it starts. Number 3, be strengthened, being strengthened. The life that pleases God endures troubled times and is patient when difficulties come. How are we strengthened in life? They tell me if you take a row of trees that have been standing together for a long time and you cut them all off except one tree, leave one tree there, that tree won't last very long. Because he was leaning on the others. You take a field of corn, the same thing applies for a cornfield. You take all the rows out except one row, it'll tumble down with any little wind. I think that's such a good analogy for a group of fellow believers, a church that stands together, strengthening each other, because the winds and the storms are going to come. They will come. But as we stand together and as we endure together, there is tremendous strength there. But you know, if we would never get any wind, and when I'm talking about wind, I'm talking about trials or struggles or difficulties in life. Let's think about that. If we would never get any wind, if those trees would never get any wind, their roots would not go down at all, and it wouldn't take much to push them over. Corn stalks the same way. With no wind, the roots would not go down. It wouldn't take much to uproot them. And so it is with our Christian life. So when the winds come, thank the Lord. And dig into His Word and let your roots grow down deep into the Word of God. James 1 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations." Ephesians 6:10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." God is in control. Circumstances and people can overthrow His plan. He only does what is good. Let's remember that. We may not understand what's happening, but God is good. He only does what is good for us, and He never makes a mistake. Let's remember that this world is not my home. And I think that's why we have difficulties at times, just for us to think. We're not here to stay. We're only here preparing for that great day when we'll all meet Him in heaven. So when hard times come, don't complain, just trust. Don't walk away. Listen and learn, and don't be in despair. Just hang on tighter. Isaiah 41 says, "Fear not. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." You see, God promised that He will never leave us nor forsake us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. And He's saying, "I'll hold your hand." And I always like the story of the man that was, and you've probably heard this story, but I think it bears repeating. The man that was going down the beach. And later he saw his footprints. And he was talking to the Lord. And he said, "Lord," he said, "why is it there's two sets of footprints, but whenever I had difficulties, there was only one set?" The Lord said, "Those were the times that I picked you up and I carried you." And that's what God wants to do for us. That's really what He wants to do. A friend of mine recently shared how he was going through some very difficult times in his life. And he said, "I've found something out. Or I've learned something." And I thought it was interesting how he said it. "God taught me that I've got to get into the passenger seat and let Him drive the car." And God wants to drive all of our cars. But you know, we like to have control so we kind of know what's happening. Let's remember that God is good. God is always right. And He has the best in mind for us. That's why He brings some difficulties at times, I believe. And I believe difficulties come as well so that we can help others that may go through difficulties, just what we experienced. Use your difficulties to minister to others. Don't let it get you down. Use your difficulties as a pulpit to minister to others. And I'm sure you can relate with people that have come to you that have went through the same things that you've went through. There's something different. Even other people that care about you, but they may not understand. But people that have went through the same thing you have, they understand and they can minister to you in ways that others can't. And I believe sometimes God allows those things to happen just for that very reason, so that we can minister to others. Number four, gratefulness. We have a man in our church that really stresses, an older man, stresses thankfulness. And he has made the comment that he believes if we would truly be thankful, our difficulties would be all gone. And think about that. I think there's a lot of truth in that. If we would truly be thankful for what we have, so many times we think, oh, if I just have this yet, if I just have this yet, let's thank God for what we have. We can so easily complain. We complain about the weather when we should be grateful that we're alive. We complain about our income when we should be grateful that we have an income, or we complain about our income or our taxes which take away our income, when we should be grateful that we have an income. We complain about our food, how long it takes to prepare it, when we should be grateful that we have food. And the list can go on and on and on and on. And we can so easily get into that rut of ungratefulness. We seem to think that if God really loved us, He would have given us less problems, more money, more stuff, more influence, less illness, more good times, less difficult times. You see, it's like we think we're just going to live here all the time. It's kind of how we live our lives so many times. We're here preparing for eternity. And in Hebrews we saw that the old patriarchs, they looked for a better country. And that should be our testimony. Looking for a better country. And then when we get on our knees and we thank God, but yet we have all these complaining things, I wonder sometimes how God looks at us. Do you think He believes that we're really thankful? Let's be thankful people. Let's be grateful for what God has done. Gratitude begins when we realize we do not deserve the inheritance that has been reserved for us. We should spend every waking moment being grateful that God, by His Spirit, has pulled us from the jaws of hell. The psalm says a lot about thanksgiving. Psalm 50, verse 14, offer unto God thanksgiving. Psalm 95, verse 2, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Psalm 100, enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Psalm 116, I will offer to Thee the thanksgiving, the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Psalm 147:7, sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Let's thank God for the blessings that He has given to us. A life well-pleasing unto God. And if we live a life that is well-pleasing unto God, we will also live a life that is well-pleasing to for the church. And I would just like to encourage you. I am just so blessed with, my mind went to Acts chapter 2 with all the new membership that's coming in here tonight. There's tremendous potential and strength that is coming into this church tonight. If it is channeled and if it is directed by God, tremendous strength. And even just as I look at these young hearts here in the front bench, God has a plan and a purpose for you in this congregation. Someday He may send you somewhere else in a mission field somewhere. I don't know. But God has a plan for you. One day I sat where these young boys sit. I had no idea what God all has in mind for my life. But it's been a wonderful journey. If I would have known everything that God was going to ask me when I was sitting there with you boys, I probably would have, not sure what I would have done. But you know, the blessing, God only gives us one day, and then the next day, and then the next day, and then the next day. And sometimes we wish, well, if I would just know how it's all going to work. Think about it. If you would just know how it's all going to work out, I don't think you want to know. I don't think you want to know. Let's just trust God. And I want to encourage you to be a pillar in the church here. And remember, if you forget everything else that I said tonight, I'd like to leave this. Don't, and this is for everyone, don't come to the church to see what the church can give to you. But come with this attitude, what can I give to the church? And if you come with that attitude, I will assure you that God will bless that attitude. And God will bless this congregation. And I pray to God that God would continue to look down upon this congregation saying, I am well pleased with my sons and daughters. Let's stand for prayer.